Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show Edge Rush in association with Betfred. Well, as our friend OC Human Euro would say. Mixed bag with the Super Bowl. We're going to get straight down to that. Propo in the house. We're going to look back at the season as a whole. Some wins, some bad beats, some cracking bad beats. We're also going to take a look at the futures already out, of course, for the 21 season. Who are the front runners? Where are the value bets right now to win it all? Straight down to business with that, as well as all, and catching up on the season as a whole. Very special guest, Jack Boyle, Global President, Direct to Consumer of the Fanatics brand. So looking forward to hearing from Jack Doyle. Ollie caught up with him a little bit earlier on in the week. So straight after me and Propo, there will be that interview in its entirety. Some really interesting things in that. So stick around for it. Let's get straight down to it though, gang. And here he is, the big man, producer Ollie. Propo, producer Ollie, Oliver Thornton. What's going on?
Yeah, in a full state of recovery after our... I mean, what do we say, Nat, to be honest, after backing the Chiefs so hard? They lost by 22 points. I mean, who was expecting that? I mean, the NFL, though, I just want to get this out. The NFL is one of those leagues where a lot of the time what happens is what you least expect.
Right.
And I was going into this game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs thinking, I'm expecting pretty much, like, any outcome wouldn't surprise me. Mm. Apart from the one that actually just happened, was the only one. The only one. I could have seen a Chiefs blowout. I could have seen the Chiefs winning it by close. Could have seen the Bucks winning it by just a couple of points. But I did not see the Bucks winning by 22 points.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this after the game and scratching our heads because you're right. We went big on the Chiefs. No doubt about it. And we're not going to try and hide. We're not going to try and make any kind of excuses. We were all in on the Chiefs. We will talk about our prop bets that were pretty successful. Mm. And that's kind of the yang to the yin. But the Chiefs, big bust. And we were chatting about this earlier on in the week. We made how many minutes of content over the last 2 weeks that were Super Bowl related? Thousands, right? So I mean, many. I was writing articles. I was telling you as I was heading up to the Sky BBL game that I had to write 3 columns in 3 hours whilst on the train. And I finished the last one just as I got there. I know you anyway, being so diligent, Al, with every Edge Rush show, so much data, Super Bowl level data and spreadsheets and graphs and all kinds of analysis, stretching back years to get a set for the podcast. All of this and almost every step of the way, every expert we spoke to, every narrative that we brought up, was pointing towards the Bucks, like more and more.
Literally.
Increasingly, everywhere we looked, we were pointing towards the Bucks. And literally, yet, you and I were big on the Chiefs.
But at the same time, and this is what, speaking to Marley, our producer, who also is actually gone into mourning, I believe, as a massive Chiefs fan. And we actually had what was meant to be a 2-minute call about work last Friday, ended up being an hour long call of him convincing me why the Chiefs were going to win and win comfortably. Mm. So as you can imagine, he is really struggling, but he makes a great point. And the reason that we went, despite everything literally the world was telling us, we knew that if the Bucs established a run, went to play action and created pressure on Mahomes, got to Mahomes, sacked Mahomes, that they were going to have success. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is literally what happened. They never had to divert away from plan A. Not at one point did the Bucs have to go away from plan A. Mm-hmm. But what we said, and in some ways we were right, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and this Kansas City coaching staff and offense is good enough to counteract whatever the Bucks are going to throw at them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you can go and say that Patrick Mahomes failed to deliver. Mm. But the one thing that I think you probably can say is that the Chiefs' offense failed to deliver as a result. Patrick Mahomes was magical. I mean, he was throwing the ball from all sorts of angles into his wide receivers' faces and they just weren't catching it.
Yeah.
But what we didn't see, Nat, was any creativity from the Chiefs.
That's the most baffling thing for me, because you're absolutely right. The rationale in the end, despite in the face of a lot of logic, and look, we're overstating it, it wasn't as one-sided as every single angle, every single matchup lent towards the Bucks. But I think we were hearing and indeed both putting across some fairly compelling arguments about why it's a good matchup. I mean, boring the hell out of you, because of course you're a key part of this show, of the overall ESPN show, and of course you produce me on radio. So you must have heard me say 74 times in the last couple of weeks. Doesn't that speed on that Tampa Bay defense match up really well? Other defenses, not so much. You know, literally carrying this point home and then not joining the dots. The other thing that was really apparent was, which I started to touch upon later on in the week, was starting to look at this Tampa defense as a classic defense. So we knew it was good and we knew that it was instrumental in the season, in the playoff run in particular, right? But I started to look at that Ravens D of the early noughties with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, right? And obviously the Broncos defense of a few years back, Seattle's Legion of Boom defense as well, and those great Super Bowl winning defenses, and started to look at the names on this Bucs defense having not even come close in terms of comparison in the past, and thought, actually, JPP, Ndamukong Suh, the speed with Devin White, just the individuality, the components all working together, a distinctive classic defense, a ferocious defense. And, you know, and they lived up to that. And so, fair point. The Andy Reid Mahomes thing was the reason why we were big on the Chiefs. Obviously Mahomes, and I guess as obviously Reid, but that was the most baffling thing. As you say, Mahomes was balling and fighting for his life and scrabbling around and trying craziness and still almost getting it done. But it was the creativity, the fact he was having to do that. There was nothing coming from Andy Reid, given what a brilliant mind he is. And look, maybe I jinxed him, right? Because I wrote a column about him celebrating his absolute genius. So, you know, and I jinxed the Green Bay Packers just weeks before, maybe we've just stumbled across it now. The reason that the Kansas City Chiefs lost Super Bowl 55 was my column for the Times and Andy Reid. Don't tell Marley that.
No, I won't tell Marley that, but that does seem likely, sadly. I think, can you just let me know who your picks are for next year's Super Bowl just so I can fade them massively? Is that right?
Yeah, you say that, but I picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win the AFC at the start of the season. A big reach that was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big call, that one, that. That's
my hot take. You know, one of the stories that has come out and getting increasingly reported, it's one of those ones where it's a bit like, is so-and-so the most underrated player in the NFL? And everyone writes that story, so they cease to be underrated. Same thing about this car crash story involving Andy Reid's son, that came out and people were saying, well, not enough people are talking about this, and now everybody's talking about it. But it is an interesting narrative. I wonder how much that inevitably impacted. Because look, Andy Reid is an old stager and a warrior, right? But he's had a tragedy in his life, of course, and I wonder if that brought up some of those memories. With pure speculation, and I don't know whether we'll ever know the true answer there, but it was an interesting element to the story that as that has played out, that particular story through the week kind of makes some sense, doesn't it?
Definitely. Actually, I spoke to Marley about this on the Monday. I said that realistically, to us, especially on Sunday night, the Super Bowl was by far and away the most important thing and the most pressing thing on all of our minds. I mean, obviously, I'm not a parent, but you are a parent, Nat. There are some things which are just more important than work. And there are some things which are certainly much more important than football.
Yeah.
And for that to happen on the week and to see the performance of not only the Kansas City Chiefs, but Andy Reid just generally as a head coach, some of those offensive players, Eric Bieniemy, I find it hard to believe that there wasn't, Andy Reid didn't necessarily, I think he might have underperformed just because his mind can't have been solely on the game. You can't, it's impossible. I'm sorry, but I'm not a dad and I know you are, but even I understand that there's no way that you could realistically put your 100% focus and attention onto that when something as significant to your child has happened.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think he's a professional and I think he would have given it his best shot. And it's not as if he wasn't thinking about the game at all or anything ridiculous like that. But at the same time, that edge that you need in a game as significant as the Super Bowl was maybe blunted by you know, thoughts in his head, distractions at certain times, who knows, but it's logical and it makes a fair bit of sense. So we whiffed on the Chiefs ultimately, but we redeemed ourselves with our prop picks because they were pretty much on the button, right? I mean, Leonard Fournette, another protagonist that I wrote about last week, thank God he stepped up and saved some element of vague credibility for me. But Fournette, Gronk, how about that? Gronk bang on the button with Gronk.
Yeah,
we had
that
over
was
yardage.
Sensational. I actually had a lot of messages from friends thanking me for the Gronk pick. So that was a
thanking you for the Gronk pick.
Yeah, I mean, I picked Gronk before you. I put it in the running order.
You know I don't read the running orders off.
There we go. There's the expose that I needed. I knew.
Was that a trap?
Yeah, that was a trap. No, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, for once, me and you both going for the same thing usually ends in disaster. But I mean, that was... I mean, I know, Harry, who's also a producer on our radio show, Classic Harry. So obviously, I go for Gronk. I back Gronk anytime touchdown scorer. Absolutely chuffed. Big relief there. Mm-hmm. I tell Harry, he was like, so what? As we had said throughout the week, I said I was convincing myself more and more about the Bucks as the weeks went on. I still back the Chiefs, and I said on this podcast, I'm not going to go and say, yeah, I want to back the Bucks behind your back, Nat. I didn't. I certainly didn't. Mm-hmm. But one thing he did say was, what is your sort of best prop bet? And I did say to him, I was like, I really like Gronkowski to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
That is just my number one, purely based off the fact that his record with Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, et cetera, what we explained last week.
The go-to
so
guy.
There's me going on anytime touchdown scorer, Gronk. Really happy with my wins. Harry goes on. Gronk, anytime touchdown scorer, Gronk to score two touchdowns, Gronk to score the first touchdown, and Gronk to score the first Tampa Bay touchdown. All four of them. So safe to say, he was very happy man. Very happy man.
Love Harry. Harry is, for the benefit of our listeners, I think, firstly, I want more Harry stories on this show. That's one of the things we're going to introduce in the offseason, and indeed rolling into next season. Harry is... one of those, he's always got some action on something, right? You know, always. We could be, for example, we've been doing radio shows and Harry's big on his golf. And I will say, because I'm not, but I might fancy a bit of action on some golf and say, what am I looking at, Harry? The final round, like who should I be looking at? It's a kind of bunched field. And Harry will already have action on 14 names in the field, which I love that fact. And that's on a PGA tournament. I imagine Harry is betting on Belarusian tennis tournaments
My favorite thing about Harry's betting tendencies is the fact that no matter what he's gambling on, because he's a massive Crawley Town fan,
yes,
and he's actually quite big in the Crawley Town field, the area, you know, that big circle that is Crawley Town. I think he actually hosts the pregame show. Yeah, exactly. But no matter, so he told me that every single bet he had on the Super Bowl, he had in a double with Crawley Town to beat Leyton Orient on the Tuesday.
And did they?
No. he always puts in. I'm always like, so what have you got on? And he was like, I've got this, this, and this, and Crawley to beat Cheltenham.
Gotta take the emotion out of it, right? Like West Ham have let me down far too many times. I've kind of given up the
game. Yeah, it's true. I never bet on Stoke.
So our prop bets came good. In true me fashion, though, one of the prop bets that I talked about on the show and that you messaged me as it came in, which was the Mahomes rushing yardage, I had forgotten to back, which was sensational maneuver there. So I forgot.
That was excellent. I mean, that came in pretty much within 5 minutes of the game, similar to the Gronk touchdown. A lot of our prop bets looked very good early on. I mean, the Ronald Jones over 8.5 carries was, we passed comfortably. The one thing that I can't believe, and this is just classic, isn't it? The one that I was so confident on was that Betfred request a bet, pick your punt, sorry.
The fourth down one.
No, the both teams to score three touchdowns.
Oh, yes.
I couldn't have been any further off. That's the mad thing, isn't it? Literally, I mean, the Chiefs didn't score one. Who would have thought? I mean, this is the thing going into it as a gambler. Like, you can only use what, as you know me doing my research, you can only use what you've seen come before you. Like, you can't go into that game predicting the Kansas City Chiefs to score 9 points. You can't. I mean, anyone who does that is just going off complete hunches and complete, which sometimes the best way to go is sports gambling.
If you're backing Kansas City not to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, Kansas City to score less than 10 points, the Bucks to win by that amount, it is the equivalent of those guys you see in casinos that are backing every single number on roulette.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, you can't just go in thinking that's going to happen. There's no way.
So look, it was a mixed bag, and I think we did save face with it with our prop bet. So I was happy about that. But yeah, the Chiefs blew us out, and congrats to the Bucks for a superb all round performance.
Oh yeah.
The question is, we're already looking now. You know, the minute the Super Bowl finished, it's much like the Pete Carroll story. I've told you, and I think I've told listeners before. The New York Super Bowl that we were covering out in the Channel 4 days, and I was at the Carroll conference the next day, and it was early doors. And I was, as I've definitely told this story quite a few times, absolutely never been as ill in my life, never will be as ill. I can't believe how I made it to that press conference, given how I was essentially hallucinating on the field, on the MetLife field during
maybe
that
you weren't.
Maybe I wasn't at the press conference. Pete Carroll didn't give a press conference. Yeah, but I did. I was there and kind of, you know, row two, row three. And it always struck me, it was the moment that the intensity and commitments of these guys really struck me. Because you realize it and you're told it and you understand, you hear it. But it's moments like this that it really hits home. It's kind of what like me and Asmir were talking about on the show last week, the difference between very good and exceptional, and then that LeBron, Brady, Carroll, Andy Reid level, right? It's at Carroll already talking the morning after the Super Bowl about next season. Already talking in all seriousness, not even kind of wink, glint in his eye. Like, or you could tell he's already thinking about next season the morning after he's taking care of business. So, to honor the great Pete Carroll, and much in that vein, I was already thinking within seconds of the Super Bowl wrapping and us getting blown out on our Chiefs bet. What about next year? So we've been looking at the futures, right? The outrights for next year or this coming season, which, where are we? 6 months away or so, right? So it's a long row. We got a free agency. We got the draft. We got all kinds of twists and turns coming up. But right now, I haven't looked at this. This is a full disclaimer, right? So Ol said, don't look at it ahead of the show. So I'm going to have a bit of a guess at the top three or four teams right now, based on the Betfred market, to win the Super Bowl next year outright. So straight off the bat, are the Chiefs the favorites?
Yes. Chiefs are okay. Favorites are 5-1.
5-1. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I got that right.
But comfortably, that was, comfortably the favorites, actually.
Comfortably favorites. Second favorites, I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers.
It's actually tied with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're both 9-1.
Okay.
Fourth is where it gets interesting. This is where it gets interesting from this point onwards. This is where I'm intrigued to see where you go. Because I think those are the three obvious, obvious ones. I mean, you always see the two teams are in the Super Bowl as favorites the following year.
Yeah.
This is where it gets interesting. The next price is at 10-1, so not too far behind Tampa Bay and Green Bay.
Yeah.
Who do you think it is?
I'm going Buffalo.
No.
Interesting. Is it going to surprise me all?
Not particularly. I don't think it will surprise you.
Are people still big on the Saints, even though there's the Saints going to be? I would thought they would have dropped down a fair chunk
no.
because of the quarterback situation. Okay, so...
I'm not sure if this is an unfair representation. I'm not sure if you necessarily, if this team deserves it based on this year's. Let me just give you a hint that it's a probably more based off the season before this one.
Interesting.
And a certain quarterback who's certainly going to come back with a point to prove, even though he got over his playoff hoodoo.
Ah, Baltimore.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. That is surprising. That is surprising.
So Baltimore are 10-1. Buffalo are then straight behind them at 12-1.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is where I think this is the next group is realistically where you're going to potentially see some value. I mean, going into
Chicago.
The season. So I think let's have a discussion.
I love looking at who's someone.
Guess who's last?
Has to be the Jets.
No, of course it's not the Jets.
What do you mean, of course it's not the Jets?
To be fair, this one is largely based off the expectancy that someone, a certain quarterback is leaving this place.
A certain quarterback is leaving this place and they're rank outside, what?
Houston.
Oh, okay, I guess so.
150-1. Houston are comfortably the biggest outsiders. It then goes down to the Jets at 100-1, Bengals at 100-1, and the Lions are at 100-1. Then the Bears are 80-1.
The Bears are 80-1, right.
What I'll do is we can go into our serious value picks, because I think one of the most interesting things going into this season is what happened last offseason kind of debunked the idea that a lot of these teams have absolutely zero chance, because what we saw with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is that I'm sure they were 14-1 going into the season, but I'm sure prior to Tom Brady arriving there, they were probably about 40 or 50-1.
Right.
And I think there's quite a few examples of teams that if they get the right quarterback, if they get Deshaun Watson, will shoot up. And with the amount of uncertainty in the quarterback market right now, that's where you can kind of spot value going into it. But just before we do that, Just want to see. So top five, Chiefs 5-1, Buccaneers 9-1, Packers 9-1, Baltimore 10-1, Bills 12-1. The next team 14-1, which was the price of Tampa Bay going into last season.
Yeah.
So potentially if you believe in that kind of, in that kind of stuff, maybe there's value here. Who do you think this is? This is going to surprise you, I think.
The Rams?
No, they're next at 16-1, which I think is a lot of value there. I like that. Just little tease. I like 16-1 for the Rams, yeah.
So it's ahead of the Rams, and the Saints have fallen further, right?
Saints have fallen further. So the Saints are 18-1.
The Saints could be in the market, by the way, for it. I mean, imagine Deshaun Watson to the Saints. Amazing.
How would they make that cap space work, though?
Who cares? Well, it's a playoff team this season, presumably.
No.
Oh, interesting. It's not a playoff team this season.
No.
It's not Miami.
We should give you a hint.
It's not Miami.
No, of course not. Should give you a hint. Not a playoff team.
Not the Rat.
But would have been if it wasn't for a ridiculous amount of injuries.
Oh, the 49ers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's probably I think that's largely due to the fact that there is the expectation that potentially Deshaun Watson goes there, but I can't see that really happening necessarily. I still
they're
think
ahead
it's
of
most
Seattle.
Likely going to be the Jets. The 49ers are ahead of Seattle. The 49ers are ahead of the Rams.
Both ridiculous. It must be what you're saying, that I get the interest.
I can't wait. Okay, I'm going to clip that up. away. The team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, pretty much the exact same roster, same coaching staff, apart from without Robert Saleh. That's actually something that maybe people aren't taking into account. No Robert Saleh.
No Robert Saleh, and massive question marks at the quarterback position right now.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and I like Garoppolo, but they seem to be moving on, and even if you like him and rate him, the injuries are a massive concern. So yeah, I think it's a huge amount of uncertainty compared to Seattle. Yeah, I like Seattle and the Rams there at that amount.
So Seattle 20-1.
What? Okay.
You love Seattle.
Yay. Pete Carroll, the press conference.
Well, with the uncertainty about Russell Wilson coming out in recent weeks that he's not happy there. I mean, there's no way he's leaving, but it's just
No chance. Look, their defense was getting stronger as the season went on. They had a piece or two there, either in the draft, free agency. We know offensively what they could do. They obviously need to look at the ground game, if fitness is going to be an issue. But yeah, I mean, one of the coaching elite quarterback, tick, tick. Two of the biggest pieces of the puzzle, irrespective of anything else. So I like the Hawks next season. I mean, I guess that you got to factor the West in, and I get that. And I get, it's going to be the hardest division of football again. So for sure, I guess there's an edge there that is blunted because of that. But then you're seeing the 49ers that high. So it kind of, we'll look into this in the off season. Well, as the schedule's released and as we start to get more and more markets released as well, on Edge Rush, we'll look at the team over-unders. I'm looking forward to that episode. But I suppose, thinking of the NFC West, the chances of winning a Super Bowl obviously are entirely predicated on getting into the playoffs in the first place. And that is impacted to a significant degree by the division you're in, right? So I wonder whether that's the line I was trying to get to there, the difference between overall Super Bowl odds versus win-loss record. What about value on? So you're giving us a bit of value in the 49ers. Is that what we're agreeing?
I don't think a 14-1. I thought if their price was more about 20-25, I would be
so
much
you like
more
the Rams
tempted.
Yeah, 16 so you like
16
okay.
I like the Rams, but going back even further down, I think that
Crawley Town,
yeah, exactly. Crawley Town, I think there's a lot of value in Crawley Town. I think because again, with the unpredictability of the quarterback market, I think when you just look at teams, just we learned more this Super Bowl than ever that it's a team sport. That's what everyone's been saying. Obviously, it's a team sport. We've always known that. The Indianapolis Colts,
right,
25-1. I quite like. They're a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl team. I think
that's quite a big piece. But you say
it is a massive piece. But there's so many quarterbacks available, and I don't think look how far they got with Phillip Rivers. They nearly beat the Bills. Don't forget.
Yeah, fair. Who would be a good fit for them? Who would
that's
you like to
question.
See going there?
Deshaun Watson, if I'm backing them.
Joe Flacco, if you're not backing them.
Exactly.
Flacco.
I guess that I don't necessarily think that if Carson Wentz goes there, that is the answer to their problems, despite the linked to the coaching staff and Frank Reich. I don't necessarily still think that will be the answer. I mean, if Sam Darnold goes there, who knows? Who knows what Sam Darnold can do outside of a New York Jets jersey? The other one that really clutching at straws there. The other one that I'm interested in there, and I actually took this last year at the exact same price and cashed out because I'm smart and saw that the value was diminishing.
Nice.
Pittsburgh Steelers at 25 to 1.
Oh, love that.
Yeah. I mean, you've still got Big Ben there.
Think about the Steelers. Seems to be a lot of value there.
Because what are they realistically? A run game away from being seriously contenders? I mean, they're not in that contender round. Yeah, exactly. You get a decent running back in the third round. Just work out. All they have to do is just fix that part of their game. I know their receivers dropped loads of passes, but at the same time, and didn't Big Ben throw over 500 yards against the Browns?
But it's all about what have you done for me lately, right? Because I know people weren't big on them when they were unbeaten, sure, but because they capitulated in the way that they did, it's always worse that way, you know, than ending strongly. Even if you don't make the playoffs, if you end strongly, oh, that's a lot of positivity then, trending in the right direction. And so that's why everyone's crazy.
Low, sell high now.
Buy low, sell high. That's what Propo always goes with. I'm just looking at running backs in the 2021 draft. We'll have to get Ben Isaacs on. We'll be doing a lot of analysis of the draft in the coming weeks. And outside of the major names that you would have heard of, we're going to start to look at some of the deeper dives as well and get you set for the draft. I'm interested to know who
maybe Najee Harris out of Alabama.
Yeah, he's high. Travis Etienne, Clemson as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they're both expected to go top two rounds. Yeah, so there's, you know, I could easily see the Steelers taking care of business there. What's the running back free agency market looking like? We got a lot of prep to do, honest.
So much prep to do. There's so much to go into this. So much to get into. I mean, we could go on forever. What do you think, Nat? What do you think about, so two teams, quarterback away.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos at 66 to 1. You know how much I hate Drew Lock.
Poor Drew Lock.
I think with a decent quarterback, that team could be easily challenging the Chiefs in the AFC West. Obviously, probably not going to get out of it, but I mean, they could easily get the second spot, get through to the wild card round. But you look at their defense, they had a lot of injuries this year. They've got one of the best free safeties in Justin Simmons. I think they do have to re-sign him, but I think they will do because of how talented he is. You look at that receiving core, they're getting better and better. Jerry Jeudy's going to have another year.
Yeah.
You've got Cortland Sutton, who's been injured all season. You've got the running back duo of Melvin Gordon and I've forgotten the other one.
Philip Lindsay, Patrick Lindsay. We'll probably edit that. Oh, I've forgotten Patrick Lindsay.
So you've got those two. You've got those two at running back. I think that they've got a great opportunity to win the Super Bowl. I can't believe I'm saying that. I know they've got a great opportunity. I think there's value there at 66.
Know the names of their running backs.
If they get the right quarterback. And actually, no, I'm not even going to say this one. I just like the price. We've said it already. I like the price.
Yeah, I think there's a lot ridiculous to be said for that.
But what about the Bears at 80 to 1?
Absolutely not. Ridiculous.
What about if they get the right? I know they're going after Carson Wentz. It's just Matt Nagy, isn't it? That's the issue I have. Otherwise, I think they've got a decent team. They've got a decent defense. You saw what they did to the Super Bowl champs earlier in the season.
There are certain teams, I think, that I'm obsessed with this, you know, the Super Bowl odds versus other odds. But I think there are certain teams that are more, that are more, you just look at as more viable to win the Super Bowl, even if you don't think they're as good a team, right? If that makes any kind of sense at all. In other words, it's not just a part of the playoffs and that element of it, but there are certain teams that you think, well, maybe if you look at it, matchup for matchup, on paper player, caliber in the roster, they're a better roster, but I just can't put any kind of argument for them winning the Super Bowl, whereas other teams, and do you say both the Bears and the Broncos are at 80 to 1, or the Broncos?
Broncos 66, Bears 80.
Okay, well, ignore that last minute. If they're both 80 to 1, I could imagine the Bears, I could see the Bears having a better shot than the Broncos, but that explains why they are 80 to 1. Actually, no, it doesn't explain that at all.
No, it's the opposite. Yeah, it's the opposite. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So I think the Bears out of those two, I like more. Out of your two longer shots.
Those are my two longer shots. But yeah, I think just in terms of it, I think you'd be a... smart man just to go for the Chiefs again. I think that they're going to be in a serious
big time.
Yeah,
big time.
They're going to be in a serious point to prove. You know that already the next time they win the Super Bowl, which I'm going to say when because of Patrick Mahomes and how great he is, I do expect them to win another Super Bowl in his tenure there. You know that that America's game is just going to be talking about this game, talking about the adversity that they faced through this game, all of that stuff, watching the Tampa Bay celebration.
Start with it. Of course it will start. Yeah. Brady loving it to Gronk in the on the boat, and you know we were watching those pictures, and you know the work began that day.
Exactly.
Humor me one more, and then we're going to remember some of our bad beats of the season. Where are and I reckon there's probably decent value here as well. Where are the Miami Dolphins and? What? Ooh, shaking your head. Where are they?
Well, that's because they're the same price as the Seattle Seahawks at 20-1, which I don't think there's value there personally.
I'm not buying that at all.
It's like the Browns at 16-1. The Browns are not the same price as the Rams. They should not be.
I'm going to guess this, and I reckon this might be my value pick, which you can clip this up and laugh at me in 9 months' time.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Do you? The Raiders.
Where are the Raiders? Oh, no. I did not think you were going with the Raiders.
Because I bet I think the Raiders are who's the only team other than Tampa Bay that smashed the Chiefs last season.
Yeah, I know, but then you're asking the Raiders honestly have to score 40 points every single time they play.
Yeah, but like,
that's the issue I have.
Well,
with
I think that they will again look to fix it, and I think they've got the wiggle room there because they've got the pieces offensively. Look, I know there's a question mark again about the quarterback position, but I'm a Carr believer. I definitely think he's good enough to give him a playoff. Tear what 33-1 the Raiders
40-1
Mm-mm. Mark that down, Oliver Thornton. Mark that down. 42.
No, do you know for me, and it's the same problem. I mean, I'm saying everyone at this point.
Yeah, I think we're just basically picking. We are the guy at the casino backing every number on roulette.
No, but I think what we're looking at is just seeing if there's value there or not. And I think that the value again, another place where there is value. You could laugh at me for this. Mm. Do you not think Dallas Cowboys at 28-1?
We're literally saying every team now. This is getting absurd. But not crazy. Dak's back. I group them in the Raiders, in that kind of Raiders category, really. I do. What do you mean, what? There's so many parallels there. Stacked offensively, better quarterback.
Wait, when you say, this is what I don't understand about the Raiders playing stacked offensively. Okay, wide receivers.
What are you talking about?
Nelson Aguilar.
Okay, but you've got
Darren Waller.
You've got Jacobs. One. Yeah.
honestly,
maybe stacked is overstretched.
Are you a really big fan of Hunter Renfrow now? Are you seeing
Clemson kid bringing it? Stacked is maybe overstated. but hear me out. Those two, elite in their position. They are. They're top. Yeah, I would say, you know, Jacobs, I guess, kind of fell off in the sophomore season a little bit, but I think that I would look at both of those as top six in their position in the NFL. I'm bigger on Carr than a lot of people. So, yeah, stacked is maybe overstretching it. But, you're forgetting the burner of all burner, Henry Ruggs. Huh?
Yeah, but he didn't have if we're comparing the Raiders to the Cowboys, I'd take CeeDee Lamb over Henry Ruggs.
I don't think it's as clear cut as that. Anyway, they're drafting 17.
They've got to go defense, though, don't they? They have to go defense. They can't add to those offensive weapons because they were one of the worst defenses in the league.
Value in the number. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, potentially. So that was good work, mate. We picked every team. So we should be at all bases covered.
Every team picked there. That was good work. I like that. We were thinking about bad beats of the season. Because we thought we'd end on a high, right?
Yeah, so of course.
We had, I think, all in all, a pretty successful season. I mean, I think we got credit where credit is due. And you take, because of the firm commitment to data and analysis and research, statistics, you take a lot of the credit for that and the heavy lifting, particularly backing Mark Andrews every week, which always was going to come in at some point, right? But no, in all
seriousness, that was the worst thing, is it came in the first 2 weeks, then failed to come in for the rest of the season,
One thing I was wondering that maybe you could illuminate and add a bit of clarity as far as our listeners are concerned. What happened to our lock of the week?
I knew that was coming.
I'm pretty sure we did lock of the week 1 week, and then we never did it again.
Well, what happened was, Nat, that we started with the lock of the week, and I remember it like it was yesterday. It was, I was doing my research, as you do, and I saw that the Miami Dolphins, who were very much a playoff contender at the time, on the upwards trend, had one of the strongest defenses in the league, one of the strongest passing defenses in the league. We're coming up against the Denver Broncos, who Drew Locke, I have absolutely zero faith in whatsoever. One of the worst past offenses in the league, barely getting anything going. Their defenses was just full of injuries, so banged up. And the line was at 3.5 in favor of the Dolphins. And I just thought, and I remember saying it, I'm terrified this is a trap, Nat. I'm terrified this is a trap.
You did? You said
it. And I remember just sitting there watching it. It was a late game, so I wasn't working it. As you know, we'd work the early game, sat there, was watching it, and Tua just got, it was actually quite similar to watching the Super Bowl in the sense of Tua just had absolutely zero time.
Yeah,
he ended up getting taken out of the game. That was one of the first instances he got taken out of the game, and the Dolphins lost by 7 points.
That was the beginning, the middle, and the end of lock of the week.
That was literally it. And that was it. I had an emotional breakdown after that. Drew Locke was haunting my nightmares.
That's why you hate Drew Locke so much. Now it makes sense. A fine start, a fine memory. I can top it though, because now I don't know if I picked it on the show, but it was, I'll have to go back into the vault and have a look, but it was definitely a pick of mine, and actually something that I backed, right? Which was the Eagles Seahawks game, which I think has to go down as one of the worst bad beats in the history of gambling. So I had the Seahawks -6.5, right? There was 15 seconds of the game remaining. A lot of football left. The Eagles were trailing by 14 points. Okay. A Hail Mary, a jammy, I mean, all Hail Marys are a little bit jammy, but an unbelievably jammy Hail Mary. They connect. And then they go for 2 points.
Why did they go for two? Yeah, literally, why did they go? The go for two made no sense whatsoever.
Of course they converted it. Unbelievable. I've never had a beat as bad as that. It's a beat so bad, in the same way that when you watch a really bad film or see a really terrible bad, like, you know, when you're watching Shark, it's the Sharknado of bad beats. It's just so ridiculous on all levels. It's great. I look back at the gist. I mean, you just got to smile and chuckle. And I don't think I'm ever going to top famous last words, right? But it will take a lot to top that. That was sensationally unlucky.
Oh, that is one of the best ever. Just purely based on the fact of why did they go for 2 points? When the line was at 6.5, all they needed was to convert that extra point and you win the bet. And then they go for the 2 points for seemingly no reason. What did they think they were going to get? 2 field goals in the last 10 seconds.
Do you remember the catch as well? It like deflected off a Seahawk. It was like one-handed catch in the end zone. Come off it.
Sensational.
All right. Well, that was my high point of the season. Any more happy memories from, I think that's kind of, of course, maybe most notably of all, our Acro of the Week streak, which was, we were rolling, right? We were, what, 5 in a row?
We were 5 in a row going into the Christmas games, weren't we?
And then we got derailed, of course, by the New York Jets. Of course it was going to be the Jets. Of course,
And coronavirus. Cleveland Browns lost all their wide receivers, yeah.
The Browns had no receivers. And win number 2 of the season in a season where the total number of wins was 2. Of course, they were the team that derailed our Acro of the Week. But I was impressed with our Acro of the Week. I think we did some good business there.
No, I think so. And I think that's something definitely to carry through. Maybe, you never know. Maybe next year we bring back Lock of the Week. Who knows?
I think we should. I think we should call it Drew Lock of the Week.
Why did we not think of that? That's quite smart. That's why you get paid the big bucks now.
We will take Drew Lock of the Week. I love that. That is now officially what we're going to call it.
What, even when he's probably out of the league next year?
Even better when he's out of the league next year. When he's in the CFL. So Drew Lock of the Week we'll bring back Acro of the Week as well. I think I look at our Acro of the Week and I guess all our season as a whole on Edge Rush, a little bit like maybe the Saints season. You know, I think we were a playoff team that in the end fell short, but but had our moments this season.
Yeah, no, definitely. We definitely had our moments. There's, I would personally be going away trying to improve my prop bet game. I would say I had mixed results. I don't think I necessarily made too much. I think the benefit of going for any time touchdown scorers is when they do come off, they tend to do, like, you tend to make more money than evens necessarily, so you can make a little bit more profit. But at the same time, yeah, I need to, you know, you need to reevaluate all times. You need to always get better. Take the Tom Brady effect, you know? Tom Brady's not thinking about what he's just won. I guarantee today he's woken up probably feeling a little bit hungover.
A little bit hungover,
but thinking about next season, how he can improve. And that's exactly what I'm going to do now.
Has Tom Brady only got drunk 7 times in the last 20 years?
Most likely, yeah.
I'm certain that's true. Yeah. And I like your approach to that. I think that's what you should do. I think you should spend your time really between now and next season. Although actually in the off season, of course, as I said, we're going to be rolling Edge Rush out, looking at stats, data, research. I want piles. I want photographic evidence of boxes and boxes of Xerox paper with data and stats on.
We've got a draft as well. Draft. You can always take some bets on the draft.
So I want all of that, along with The Wire on in the background, all every single season of The Wire. As I say, we're rolling through the off season. That's exciting news. We are not going anywhere with this show. We might take a tiny break. We'll see. We might drop an episode next week. We might take a holiday, but we're going to be back super soon with lots and lots of content. Our social channels at The NC Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, rolling through the off season. We're going to have all kinds of special guests coming thick and fast. Lots of fun shows in the off season as well, but plenty of business to take care of as well, with free agency, with the draft, with all kinds of stuff as deals get done, teams get put together and re-upped, and we start to already look at the next season. So we are not going anywhere. Oh, we are not going anywhere. All right. Look after yourself. Great work, bud.
Cheers, my man.
Lovely stuff from Ol. He'll be back very soon. You can count on that. We'll be dropping another Edge Rush very, very soon, gang. Before we get out of Dodge, though, let's hear Ollie's chat with Jack Boyle, Global President, Direct-to-Consumer of the Fanatics brand. Of course, a key NFL partner, shift a lot of jerseys all around the world. Some really interesting stats about which shirt sales are the highest. Unsurprisingly, Tom Brady, as if he hasn't shifted enough in his career, stepping up once again. Some really interesting chat that Ollie had with Jack. Let's hear it.
Firstly, Jack, thank you so much for your time. I know you must be a very, very busy man right now. You guys make all of the official conference and Super Bowl champs merchandise. If you're a Bucks fan over here in the UK and you're listening, go and check it out. There's so much great stuff on there. I just have to ask Jack one question. Is it tough to be pushing all of this Tampa stuff as a Packers fan?
You've done your research, Ollie, and you know, it's interesting when you're in the business for as long as I've been in. You've got your teams you pull for, you know, with your heart, and then there are teams you pull for with the business. And as the season shaped up, we had a lot of indications that Tampa Bay would be an outstanding Super Bowl champion. So I have to say that I'm pretty easy to pivot my loyalty when I'm in the business of sports. So I kind of looked at the conference championship between the Packers and Tampa Bay as I couldn't lose versus being upset that the Packers. But you know, it's really been an amazing season for Tampa Bay, a perennial, perennial, call it 25th, high 20s out of 32 teams annual sales performance. And, you know, it really, as soon as Tom Brady signed with Tampa Bay last spring, it vaulted them to a top five team all season. So, you know, there's so much unpredictability in the NFL merchandise sales. And, you know, it takes a company like ours with what we call V-commerce. We vertically integrate our business to be able to handle things that are unpredictable, like Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. We thought he'd be a lifelong Patriot. And certainly the fans responded all season. And I'm sure we'll get into the postseason for sure in the Super Bowl. But, it's been an incredible NFL season for lots of reasons.
I can imagine. So let's just get into the impact of the Super Bowl then. I saw that in the regular season, that the two leading shirt sales were in fact Brady and Mahomes. Does that mean by this point, after what we've just witnessed, especially in the week building up to the Super Bowl, these two shirts are just by far and away the most popular?
Yeah, you know, what was, you know, again, one of the unique things that we had this year was that the top two shirt sales, players for shirt sales all season were the ones that went to the end. Went to the Super Bowl. So it just amplifies and it builds. We go through a couple of peaks through the year. We go through the, you know, the beginning of the season. We go through the holiday period, and then we go through the postseason. But consistently, we had a couple of exceptions, and you know, it's interesting throughout the season how players pop up. But the two players throughout the season, as you said, made it to the Super Bowl. So again, you really can't predict. I mean, there are 14 teams that make the playoffs, and in a period of 4 weeks, you go from 14 to two teams in the Super Bowl. We have to be prepared for every team. So we were in it's what we do best at Fanatics, is be able to respond to what's selling. And this was the first year that we had the rights, the Nike rights, so that the rights actually for the shirt, for the jersey. And we were definitely being able to respond with our supply chain to be able to ramp up the production and supply of both Mahomes and jersey and Brady.
Yeah, I mean, that must be, is there a significant difference when, obviously, you saw Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes go to the Super Bowl, two of arguably probably the two most marketable players in the league. Would it have been a notable difference for you guys if it, say, had been Taylor Heineke and Josh Allen who had made it to the Super Bowl?
It would have been a difference. We haven't seen a Super Bowl performance dramatically underperform. And if you take the Bills, for example, take Josh Allen. If they would have gone to the Super Bowl, we had an incredibly energized fan base in Buffalo. Yeah. They, you know, without a Super Bowl win, with a lot of close calls through the years, especially, you know, 20 and 25 years ago. So Buffalo, you know, frequency or lack of frequency also impacts the Super Bowl performance. So you had Mahomes, and that would have been a repeat, or you would have had somebody, like you said, Josh Allen, and that Buffalo fan base was ready to go. We actually saw a couple of weeks globally in early January where Buffalo was the leading team in sales for a couple of weeks as they were going through the playoffs. So there's a story behind every team, Ollie, for sure.
Yeah.
And we're there to create it and help support whoever makes it. But we haven't really ever seen a situation where a team has gotten all the way to the Super Bowl and the fan base hasn't embraced it.
Yeah, and I guess there's no better example of that than the fact that you still see hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of Nick Foles jerseys, Philadelphia Eagles jerseys, even walking around London. It's incredible. But let's just go back to the man, Tom Brady, obviously the focal point of the NFL right now, as he has pretty much been since he entered the league. I think you've been working at Fanatics now for, what, nearly 9 years, I believe?
Correct.
You've overseen 4 Super Bowl wins for Brady. Has there been a time where his shirt sales have slowed down?
We've actually seen, it's a great question. We've actually seen his sales each Super Bowl in the 4 that I've been here build. Wow. I think some of it was, you know, each one had a unique story. You know, the year that the Patriots came back against Atlanta from a 28-3 deficit at halftime, the sales were explosive, and especially the early hours right after the win, everybody was in pandemonium that they actually made this comeback, and that was a story. 2 years ago when they beat the Rams, it was the highest Brady sales that we had ever seen up to that point, because it was, you know, part of his legacy, part of being the GOAT. Maybe this is the last one. and people were memorializing that victory. And, you know, it's things like the patch goes on the jersey. So it becomes it very much becomes a collector's item. So there's no doubt that Tom Brady's legacy, it was part of legacy making. And then we get into this year, and new team obviously played a big role. Nobody previous to this year had ever owned a Tampa Bay Brady jersey, but certainly nobody had ever owned a Tampa Bay Brady Super Bowl winning jersey. So we again set all kinds of records with Brady merchandise, you know, comping himself as a Patriot or comping every team. But I'll give you a couple of really interesting statistics because it all happens real time in our business. We sold more Brady merchandise in the first 3 hours after the victory in the UK and throughout Europe than any other player had ever sold in the first 24 hours. Even in the period leading up into the Super Bowl, Brady was the best-selling NFL player ever between the conference championship and the Super Bowl. So again, building on that legacy from previous years, and even higher than somebody like Patrick Mahomes the year before. And the Buccaneers sales typically in the playoffs, whether it be conference championship or Super Bowl, player sales are about 20% of the business. Brady himself was half of the Buccaneers business for conference championship and Super Bowl. So it's amazing, Ollie. And it really started early on. It started right when he signed with the Buccaneers back in the spring. The day that he signed with the Buccaneers, we were surprised with a smaller fan base. Across Europe, he sold 10 times the number of shirts the day he signed as the nearest player. So it started back then, and it built with crescendo all the way through. We talk a lot about shirts. We talk a lot about jerseys, Ollie, in our business, but there's other aspects of the business as well. We're going live today with a T-shirt that we just got approved, where Tom Brady is got his hands crossed and he's holding his 7 rings up, and we put the Tampa one on there. Or we have a really powerful and leadership business with our memorabilia business. And, sometimes we took a shot with Brady a year ago, and we signed him as an exclusive athlete for our memorabilia. So you can get signed helmets, signed jerseys, signed footballs, all with, and now because he won the MVP, it would all be inscribed with Super Bowl MVP, 55 MVP as well. So we kind of go to market globally with a player like Brady in many different categories, and certainly give the fans what they're looking for, because as we talked about, the demand is unprecedented right now.
Yeah, that's all that we needed, realistically, wasn't it? Is more records broken by Tom Brady. It seems to be an endless list right now, an absolute endless list.
And I don't think it's done yet.
No, neither do I, sadly. But no, honestly, go and check out the Fanatics website if you're a Tampa fan or any fan of any team, because it is just an absolute playground. There's so much stuff on there, brilliant stuff. I was actually looking at sort of Joe Burrow draft coins, actually, before we sat down in this interview, and it is a Joe Burrow helmet mug, which just is brilliant stuff on there. But I think one of the reasons why it's so great to speak to you is because sort of merchandise sales, especially player-orientated ones, are actually a great indicator of popularity of certain players. People would probably say that, I think probably the greatest, people probably say that social media following probably these days is the one. But I mean, I follow Tom Brady on all social channels, but that does not mean that I'm a fan of him. And you certainly will not see me wearing a Tom Brady jersey anytime soon, I'm sorry to say. But can you just tell me the players that you've seen sort of grow in popularity in terms of their merchandise sales this year, the ones that sort of seen the biggest increase?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some differences at times between, North America NFL and our international NFL business. So, specifically on the international side, which is, you know, really driven a lot by the UK business as well as Germany. Patrick Mahomes for the year, which included his, you know, the year of 2020, which included his Super Bowl last year, was our number one, jersey. Brady was, and that was his home jersey, which narrowly beat out the Brady road jersey. So those were those two items were one and two. But as a player, Brady was number one for us throughout all categories in our international NFL business. DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson were also in the top five. The Seahawks have an incredible international following and definitely over indexes. It's large in the U.S., but in our international business, it certainly over indexes. So those were a couple of the big players. You know, we saw some defensive stars out there as well. TJ Watt was a big seller for us from Pittsburgh. Billy Wagner, again, another Seahawk, was a top 25 player overall. And again, you know, speaking to defense. So, you know, there's an incredible long tail on player selling overall, but those are certainly a couple of the highlights. Newness matters a lot as well, Ollie. When you think about sports in general, not just the NFL, we like player movement. We like rookies because nobody owns that jersey, and not everybody has that. That tree that grows to the sky like Tom Brady. So we like change. And this year's rookie class, despite, I know your fandom and your allegiance to Cincinnati and Joe Burrow was good. But the most outstanding rookie, was Tua. Tua came in and, he was not the number one pick and he was our top selling rookie. And it happened earlier when he got drafted, and then there was a little bit of a lull. But then when he started, which was right around week 10, we saw Tua rise and actually become the number one selling player in the NFL for a period of time when he began to start. Players like Justin Herbert from San Diego, and San Diego is not generally a top selling team. You saw him rise throughout the year. As well when he started to take over and play. So, change is good in our business. Despite Tom Brady being like death and taxes, we always sell him. But we think change is great and the fans embrace it as well.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that in terms of the most popular rookies, but it's interesting to see Tua's success. And I especially imagine that would be the case over here, considering there seems to be quite a large Dolphins proportion of fandom over here as well.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think that definitely makes sense. And then obviously I was going to ask you in terms of, you say you like change, then as well, you've got the rookie class coming in, so many sort of exciting quarterback prospects, but you've also got potentially one of the most interesting off seasons in terms of quarterback movement that we've had for a while. Obviously, we've already seen Matthew Stafford go to the Rams. Does that mean immediately you're going to see a vast increase in Stafford shirt sales?
Oh, for sure. I would expect that. Stafford was a top selling Lion, Detroit Lion for us last year. He did almost 40% of the sales for the Lions. So
feel sorry for those guys.
Yeah, right. I don't know what they're going to do, but. We'll embrace that change as well, but Matt Stafford, who's obviously a highly rated player himself on the field, going to a marquee market like Los Angeles, I would expect. I'm thinking through the roster there, Ollie. I would expect he becomes a top selling player for the year, hands down for the Rams. Again, you got change, you got the quarterback position, and, frankly, you got a great team there. So I expect him to be number one with the Rams.
So if that's the case with Matthew Stafford going to the Rams, how much demand do you anticipate seeing if Deshaun Watson goes to either a massive market in San Francisco or a massive market in New York?
Oh, I think, listen, he's the real deal on the field as well. I would expect he'd vault right into certainly the top 10. And I think for the year, I would predict him to be a top five player for sure. Again, we love when change happens. There's a lot of different surges that happen in our business, the time of the signing, beginning of the season, great play on the field. And maybe we'll be talking about Watson being in the Super Bowl next year.
So do you see very similar trends in the UK to what you see in America? Does it tend to follow the same path in terms of shirt sales, or is there sort of like do we have a unusual preference for certain teams and certain players?
Yeah, I would say that there is, you know, I hate to take both sides of the fence, but it happens to be true. There are similarities. You know, we just talked about Tom Brady, Holmes, but boy, there are certainly a lot of differences. And I think some of the differences that we see in the UK are around, I mentioned earlier, the Seahawks over index. Mm-hmm. The teams that the Jacksonville Jaguars, who obviously make the annual trip to London to play in the games there, have a strong fan base. Every year, whoever the other teams are that come in, come in for the games, we see incredible spikes on their business. We happen to not only run the European and UK e-commerce business for the NFL, but we also run the physical retail for the UK games. We in the month of, I'll just use the month of October, and annually we see about 35% of the business come from the teams that make the trip over for the London games. We have about 25 and in the actual stadiums for the London games, we see about 25,000 fans a game come through the stadium shop. So it's great. I was at last year. I was actually at the Bucks game last year at the Spurs stadium, which was against the Panthers, which was great. And it was such an international flavor. I go every year to the game, except 2020 when it didn't happen. And you just see all kinds of different shirts on all the fans there, but it feels a bit like a Super Bowl. But the differences are meaningful enough, Ollie, that it's hard to say they just follow what happens in North America. Winning teams and top players do, but there are definitely teams like my team, the Packers, over-index internationally. The Patriots always over-index internationally. The Steelers are a perennial top team internationally. Despite sometimes the performance, what we see perennially is the Seahawks being number one, two, or three every year internationally. So bit of both. That's a long answer too. I'd say there's a lot that is the same, and there's a lot that is, there are some unique characteristics to the business.
That's really interesting. I mean, it does make us all sound slightly like glory supporters, supporting sort of the bigger teams, generally speaking.
Right.
But that does make sense. I mean, Asmir Begovic, who's a professional footballer, soccer player over here, I know for a fact that he was a diehard Patriots fan until, and then very quickly bought a Brady Bucks jersey as that move happened. So I do think there tends to be like a following of players over here as well, which tends to happen. Jack, thank you so much for your time here on the Nat Coombs Show. We really appreciate it. Just one last thing before you go. I know you're a company man, and I know you'd see even more success if Brady goes back to back with the Bucks. But surely you have to be rooting for the Packers to win the Super Bowl next season.
I think it would be. Hopefully, Aaron Rodgers develops that chip on his shoulder that Tom Brady perennially has. So, and that beatdown probably. He'll be thinking about that in the offseason. So, yeah, I'm pulling for the Pack, and I'll finish the way we started. Change is good. I can't wait to see him in the Super Bowl next year.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Okay, thanks, Ollie.
lots of things I loved about that interview. Most importantly of all, Jack Boyle being a company man, because we like company men on this show, saluting the TMR reference there. For those of you who know, you know. Great stuff from all. Appreciate Jack's time. We are going to be back imminently, so watch this space. And thanks to all of you for listening this season. Enjoyed your company. Hope you've enjoyed ours. We'll be back very soon. Bye for now.